It's Thursday the 24th of October. This is the Monocle Minute. Today, Turkey and Russia boast of a historic deal that would see Kurdish forces withdraw from northern Syria. But is it really what it seems?
They don't really have much other choices. They turned to Assad 2 weeks ago when Turkey first launched its assault. There was a military memorandum of understanding signed between the two sides at that point.
Also ahead, global trade turmoil takes a toll on Huawei's bottom line. How you could own a piece of Californian transport history. And our very own Josh Fennett enlightens us on the dim effects of lousy LEDs. I'm Tom Edwards in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Turkey and Russia have agreed on a deal that would see the nations oversee a withdrawal of Kurdish forces from northern Syria. The Kurds, however, are likely to see the situation rather differently. Hannah Lucinda Smith is the Istanbul correspondent for The Times of London.
This completely relies on the Kurds agreeing to this and agreeing to withdraw from those areas. But quite frankly, they don't really have much other choices. They turned to Assad almost 2 weeks ago when Turkey first launched its assault. There was a military memorandum of understanding signed between the two sides at that point. And to be honest, they really haven't got any other cards to play. It's difficult to see how they have any leeway to oppose this agreement. They're going to be pulled out of an area generally 10 kilometres along the border, apart from some certain towns. Also from the towns of Membij and Tel Rifat to the west of that area. Obviously, that's only a small section in kind of pure landmass terms of what the Kurdish-dominated forces control in Syria. But it does also include almost all of their main towns and cities. The city of Qamishli, their de facto capital, falls outside of this arrangement. It's unclear exactly in the long term how that's going to be patrolled. But at the moment, it's got a mixture of Kurdish and regime fighters there. All the other towns along that border, that's where the huge bulk of the Kurdish population in Syria live. And it's really unclear at this point where, if they choose to leave those towns, those civilians are going to go. I think it's very important for Erdogan that he manages to spin whatever he gets here as a victory at home. You know, I think we shouldn't forget that a major part of his reason for launching this operation in the first place was to kind of rouse some domestic support and to also deflect attention away from some of the other things that have been plaguing him this year. You know, the economy is going terribly. He suffered major losses in local elections earlier this year. The reaction is a lot more kind of restrained than was the reaction to the deal with Mike Pence last Thursday. After that deal, the Turkish headlines were saying Turkey has won a Turkish victory. Now they're much more restrained. They're saying, you know, the terror corridor has been committed to history. But I mean, certainly he's going to spin that into a victory. He's going to say that the Kurdish state of Rojava is no more, that I have got rid of the terror threat from our border, and this is another victory for me and my policies.
There's been no shortage of political pressures facing Chinese tech giant Huawei in recent months. Now it seems those pressures may be hitting the company's bottom line. Monocle's technology correspondent David Phelan is here. David, welcome.
Thank you.
Huawei's latest smartphone, the Mate 30 Pro, it's equipped certainly with plenty of the usual technical wizardry, but perhaps it doesn't have everything that you might expect it to have.
No, that's true. You're right. It's a beautiful phone. It's got a fantastic screen. The design is really outstanding. And it's got four cameras on the back. It is likely to be the best camera phone that has ever been built. But it's difficult to know because although it's gone on sale in China and is a rip-roaring success in its native market, it hasn't gone on sale elsewhere yet, though it's due in Europe soon. But the problem is that because of the standoff between China and America in their current trade deals, Huawei is on what's called an entity list, so American companies cannot sell to it. Crucially, that includes Google, whose operating system Android is at the basis of every Android phone. You can get basic Google, that's free, that's open source, but what you can't get is something called Google Mobile Services, which is things like Gmail, the Google Play Store, Google Maps. None of those can be put onto the phone. And it means that what could have easily been the most innovative and exciting phone of 2019 is probably not going to be seen much outside China.
So this is a bit of a microcosm, isn't it, then, of the strife between the US and China. Is there a way out for Huawei? I mean, in a sense, as you've described it, they're a bit of a pawn in a bigger game, and the solutions aren't really within their gift.
No. The problem is partly one of perception. Ren Zhongfei, who was the founder, was part of the Red Army in China. So there's always been an understanding that it has been a pawn of the Chinese government. Now, there has never been anything found, and people have looked very closely in the hardware and software to suggest that Huawei is doing anything inappropriate, and they have said they never would. But you're right, if the Chinese government quietly said to them, oh, we want you to do this, maybe that would make a difference. Having said that, I don't think there is a clear and present danger from Huawei, and I suspect it is more a pawn of the trade deal. And if President Trump decides that he has got what he wants, I think it absolutely possible that he will just say, oh yeah, and Huawei, you can have Google again now. Huawei is quite defiant about this. It's creating its own operating system called Harmony, which it says will be better and is almost ready. They've slightly backed away from that now, saying it's going to take a bit longer and they want to stick with Android. And also behind the scenes in America, American companies are lobbying to have Huawei taken off the entity list because American companies sell a lot to Huawei. It's a very big manufacturer. Would have been, without this hiccup, the number one smartphone manufacturer in the world probably by now. They're just behind Samsung at the moment. So there is strong business reason to do dealings with Huawei again.
David Phelan, we appreciate your insights as always. Thank you for being here. To California now, where those interested in owning a piece of transport history are in with a chance, as our Carlotta Ribello reports from our Los Angeles bureau.
How much do you love your city's transit system? Well, the Los Angeles Metropolitan Transit Authority is hoping for a positive answer as it prepares to auction off hundreds of signs from its retired Blue Line. Following nearly 10 months of closures and a $350 million investment, the city's oldest train line is finally ready to reopen to the public. But it is doing so with a brand new name, the A Line. This has meant that complete new signage had to be created for this line that connects Long Beach to downtown Los Angeles. For those wanting to grab a piece of transportation history, the lowest bid will start at $5, and there are an estimated 340 items being auctioned off, and these include exit signs, street names, destination posters, and more. If the event proves to be a success, Angelenos might have similar chances for them in the future, as the MTA continues to replace the color-based naming system as part of the network's expansion ahead of the 2028 Olympics. For Monocle in Los Angeles, I'm Carlotta Ribello.
Finally today, Monocle's executive editor Josh Fennett looks at why new findings on the effect bad lighting can inflict on our health ought to be a switch off for all of us.
Dim all the lights, sweet darling, 'cause tonight it's all the way.
Bad lighting takes a heavy toll on the health of living things, according to a new report in an online journal entitled Aging and Mechanisms of Disease. The peer-reviewed paper's findings suggest that exposure to LED light disrupts sleep patterns, speeds up aging, and increases stress in organisms. At least it did among the obliging fruit flies that were tested. Are you surprised, though? Aren't we all at least dimly aware of the negative effects brought on by strip-lit supermarkets? No one feels good in the overlit bluish pool cast by energy-saving bulbs or backlit screens, either. And obviously this isn't purely an aesthetic issue, but there is such thing as a flattering light. More importantly, better lighting should be discussed when we create homes, offices, shops and airports. They should be places that feel cosy and make us feel well. Architects and industrial designers have long had a knack for getting the light right, even though LED bulbs cast a less appealing glow than their incandescent cousins. Some still have supposedly bright ideas about design, but miss the glaringly obvious merits of sidelights and of shade. To offer them some counsel, first uttered long before this peer-reviewed flypaper demonstrated the dark side of overdoing lighting. Where there are no shadows, there will be no beauty. So wrote Japanese author Junichiro Tanisaki in 1933. No need to turn to an insect for proof then. You already know it's time for a switch, or, might we suggest, a dimmer.
Thanks to our very bright spark, Josh Fennett. That's all in today's programme. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Tom Edwards. The Monocle Minute returns on Friday.